When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. RX only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, goal!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer and brought to you in part by Michelob Ultra, official beer sponsor of FIFA World Cup 26.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer is live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Hopefully a lot of you are tuning in after being at Atlanta Stadium, or as we like to call it when the World Cup is not in town, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, for a historic night. The first ever World Cup win for DR Congo. They were trailing, and they flipped the result to qualify for the round of 32, and they get to stick around a while because they're playing England on Wednesday. So many things. This was such a cool atmosphere tonight in Atlanta. It felt like about a 50-50 split between Uzbekistan fans and DR Congo fans and neutrals as well. Although the neutrals were in small numbers in this one. These are the things that make the summer so special, and a summer that, honestly, I don't know if any of us are ever really going to forget. You don't want to jinx it because you never know how the knockout round goes, and it almost feels like a separate event entirely. But this has been such a glorious World Cup. If you love this game, if you love getting a chance to interact with different cultures, if you love getting a chance to learn about different cultures, seeing different kinds of soccer played, if you just love events like this, this is about as good as it's ever been. It's been so special. And the last two games in Atlanta have been some of the most unique sporting events I've ever been to, honestly. I'd never been to a World Cup match before this World Cup. I didn't get a chance to go in 1994. Wasn't really all that close to us and didn't have the money to get tickets even back then. Haven't been able to travel to a World Cup before. These are the first games I've seen. And the first couple of games were a little different, where it felt more one-sided in terms of the attendance. Spain, obviously, huge crowd, although Cabo Verde had a great turnout. Czechia, South Africa was much more the way of South Africa. Spain and Saudi Arabia. Saudis were loud, but it was much more in the way of Spain. These last two, Morocco and Haiti, and this one tonight, Uzbekistan and DR Congo, two games that I know a lot of people had a lot of thoughts about, and I know a lot of people threw off a lot of hot takes and made a lot of hot predictions. And they were all proved to be wrong. And it's okay to put your hand up if you're one of those folks. It's totally okay. Fans from and fans representing Morocco and Haiti and DR Congo and Uzbekistan showed up in Atlanta in a huge way in these last 2 days. Let's talk about the soccer on the field. This was frantic. Uzbekistan came in. They needed to win by 6 to get to the knockout round. Is it possible? Yeah. Is it likely? Absolutely not. They scored almost in the first minute, which would have made it more likely. That was taken back due to VAR. They got it back, though, pretty quick. A great finish from Eldor Shomurodov. And Uzbekistan had the lead. DR Congo thought they had equalized it 8 minutes later. A foul in the buildup. I didn't love that call because it was a 50-50 decision, and the referee had a great look at it initially and decided not to give the foul. It felt like a little bit of re-refereeing. Like, can you justify the decision to call a foul there? Absolutely. It's an arm back towards the player's face. There was contact. I don't think it was intentional. But it's a judgment call, and the referee had a look at it and didn't give it during real time and then gave it after seeing it. Those are the interventions from VAR that I'm not the biggest fan of, but it's not an incorrect call. It's a judgment call. DR Congo at halftime had twice as many shots as Uzbekistan, but nothing to show for it. Second half, it turned the other way. Yohan Wisa centering pass to him near the penalty spot. Abdulkadir Kusanov clattered into him, took him down. No hesitation on the decision to give the penalty. Wisa took it himself. He stuttered in the run-up, got the keeper to go the wrong way. 1-1. Then, what a goal in the 78th minute to have the go-ahead. Meshack Elia delivered from the left side. It took a deflection off the defender, and Fiston Mayele was already running. He plays for Pyramids in the Egyptian League. He makes the quick decision. He's onside by about a body length. And what a little flick over the keeper. This wasn't just lunging to get a touch. This was directed. Great finish from Mayele. 2-1 DR Congo. And then at the start of stoppage time, Wisa got his second. Picked it up at the top of the box. Drove a low strike through traffic. 3-1. Game over. History done. First win in the World Cup for DR Congo. They were the better team. They had less of the ball, but had more shots, more danger. Expected goals was 2.35 to 2/10 of a goal. The goal from Uzbekistan was a beautiful goal, but unexpected. Once they got it level, it felt like DR Congo could turn it. You just wondered if they could handle the moment, and they did. It's their first ever World Cup win. This will be their first ever knockout round appearance. It comes 52 years after their only other previous World Cup appearance. They were Zaire in 1974, got no points in that one. Half a century of waiting, they get their first ever win in Atlanta. And these are the moments. You know, we talk about this with the Olympics, right? Where a city becomes famous in a country far, far away because of something historic that happened here. Atlanta will always be remembered fondly by soccer fans in DR Congo. And that's really cool. And it's going to be remembered even more fondly on Wednesday because the Leopards will be playing jolly old England. It took England a while. There's been some questions about England in this tournament. They were level at halftime. They were not headed to Atlanta at halftime. And there were a lot of folks, a lot of bar owners, a lot of pub owners, a lot of event planners who were on edge. But they got done in the second half. Jude Bellingham broke the deadlock in the 62nd minute against Panama. Corner from Bukayo Saka. 5 minutes later, Bellingham clipped in the cross. Harry Kane headed it home. 2-0 to England. 7 points. They win the group. Croatia beat Ghana. They come in second on 6. Ghana qualifies as a third-place team. It took an hour for England to find a way through this. Maybe it took that long to wear off the curse from the witch doctor from Ghana and got a little bit of help in wearing that off from a, I don't know if they were priestesses or exactly what their title would be out of Peru, but they did this on live television to try to help Harry Kane in England, and it just took a little bit of time. He gets the second goal. They get the win. Harry Kane is now the all-time leading scorer for England at the World Cup. His 11th World Cup goal moves him past the legendary Gary Lineker. So England come into Atlanta for the first time ever to play DR Congo. Noon kickoff. I would assume, just because of how things could have shaken out, that Le Leopards did plan to stay in Atlanta. I'm not sure off the top of my head where their base camp was, but they get to stick around and just get ready for this. England will be coming down from the northeast. No big travel issue there. Thomas Tuchel said after the match that the tournament starts again now in the knockouts. The bigger the games get, he says, the bigger that England will get. There is an injury concern here. Jarrell Kwanzaa picked up an ankle injury. Tuchel said it would be a tight race to get him back. So the final group games of the tournament are underway right now. Argentina and Jordan. That one really doesn't mean much because Argentina has already won the group and Jordan has been eliminated. The other game is the really interesting one with Algeria and Austria. And it's really interesting on a couple of different levels. We'll talk about the potential for shenanigans in this one, although it might be reverse shenanigans. I don't really know how to quantify this, and I'm not quite sure how it's going to play out, but we'll talk about it on the other side of the break. We'll see if there's any goals in that one by the time we get there. There might not be any goals tonight in that one. We'll talk about why on the other side of the break. Both games are scoreless right now. This has just been such a crazy topsy-turvy day, with England taking a while to get going, but eventually showing their quality, with the Ghana-Croatia game being very good and back and forth, and with what we saw tonight in Atlanta with DR Congo. I know there were a lot of questions and there was a little bit of misinformation out there earlier. We had it this morning on the SDH network that Lumumba Vea, that's what he is known as worldwide, was not going to be in Atlanta to support DR Congo. I wrote a piece about it on soccerdownhere.net. Go check that out if you can. Soccer Down Here on your social media platforms to help find it as well. It's not a mascot, and I think at times Lumumba Vea has been kind of put into that category. It is a memorial in a lot of ways, a living memorial of DR Congo's first prime minister, who was assassinated not too long after taking power. And the history of DR Congo and the history of that assassination is very, very complicated and far too complicated to try to explain here. But Lumumba Vea has become famous in the last year or so internationally. Was seen, and the first chance I had a chance to see this, at the African Cup of Nations tournament, December, January, about 6 months ago. Coming from DR Congo, there are some issues when it comes to the Ebola outbreak in the country. And I do not know why his visa did not come through in time. We have not been told that. I don't know if anybody has asked the government on that one. But I don't think it's necessarily fair to jump to the conclusion that he was just denied because there is an Ebola epidemic out there right now, and there has been restricted travel for people into most countries directly from DR Congo. If you remember on the show, we talked about it in the pre-tournament friendlies. DR Congo had a pre-tournament friendly canceled in Spain, and they had to move it because Spain would not allow them to play, even though none of the players from DR Congo had set foot in the country within the last 6 months, because they all play in Europe. So these are things that have been going on. This is a complicated situation. DR Congo was also on one of the initial, had to have a special bond to get a visa to travel. That was before the pandemic or epidemic broke out. So a very complicated situation. I don't know if that changes between now and Wednesday. That would be very interesting to follow. We'll keep you posted on anything that we find out, either here or on the Soccer Down Here network or on both. Make sure you're following me at Longshoe, and I'll give you all the latest updates, because The round of 32 is underway starting tomorrow, and our first game in the round of 32 will be in Atlanta on Wednesday at noon between England and DR Congo. We're going to get you ready for that. I am sure there are going to be a lot of events for traveling fans coming in for this. England fans historically travel very well. And there's also quite a few people who claim England as a favorite team, whether it's through family, through history, through just watching the Premier League. It's going to be a wild couple of days in Atlanta as we get ready for that one. And it's going to be a very wild Wednesday because, don't forget, England plays at noon. The United States plays Bosnia and Herzegovina at 8 o'clock. And yes, there are going to be viewing parties galore for that one all over town. There's going to be a special Atlanta Soccer tonight from 6 to 8 to get you ready for that one. Location TBD. Make sure you're following us for all the latest. But coming up next on the other side of the break, we'll talk about this Austria-Algeria game and how the reverse shenanigans could be going. We'll also talk about what the bracket's looking like right now. It's almost done. It will be done by the end of the night. More to come on Atlanta Soccer tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Covering the world of soccer live.
It's Puto!
With Jason Longshore.
And it's the man from the back.
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Welcome back. Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game, on the Odyssey app, also on the 92.9 YouTube channel. And that's where we will go after 11 o'clock. We'll take you through the end of these 10 o'clock games. We'll know what the bracket will look like, and we'll get into all of that. We do have an update in one of the games going on right now, the one that doesn't affect the bracket. Argentina, Giovanni Lo Celso taking the free kick because Lionel Messi is watching from the bench to start. What a goal. What a free kick. Lo Celso with his first goal of the tournament. First goal for Argentina, not scored by Messi. And Argentina lead 1-0 over Jordan. Okay, before we look at this bracket, I got to tell you a story. Because while we're sitting here, Algeria and Austria are playing in Kansas City. It's not just your average group stage finale. This is a 44-year-old wound that the Algerian football community is trying to close tonight. Game scoreless. The expected goals through 20 minutes for both teams are 0.01, one shot for each. Not a lot happening in this game. Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. Let's go back to 1982 first, though. The 1982 World Cup, Algeria. Young nation, 2 decades removed from colonial rule. They walked into that tournament. They beat West Germany, the reigning European champions, 2-1 in their opening match. Then they lost to Austria. Then they beat Chile in their final group game. So here's where it goes wrong. Back then, the final group game wasn't played at the same time. So after beating Chile in their final group game, Algeria had to wait for West Germany to play the day after that game. Both European sides knew exactly what they needed. A West Germany win by 1 or 2 goals, and both of them would go through on goal differential, and Algeria would go home. So what happened? In Gijon, Horst Hrubesch scored for West Germany in the 10th minute. From that point on, both teams basically stopped playing. Players just walked the ball laterally for 20 seconds at a time. Defenders held the ball, surveyed the field, passed it 5 yards. 3 shots in the entire second half, none on target. Both teams completed over 90% of their passes. The crowd in Gijon figured it out fast. They started chanting in Spanish, "Just kiss each other and get out." Then they switched sides entirely, and the fans started chanting for Algeria. So the Algerian Federation filed complaints with FIFA. That went nowhere. The only institutional response was that from then on, the final group matches are now played simultaneously, and that rule exists because of what happened to Algeria. So every time you see this, as we've seen over the last couple of days, with 2 games going on at the same time, at the end of the group stage, it's the ghost of Gijon at work. Algeria is the one who paid for that rule. So tonight, it's funny how history comes back around, isn't it? In Kansas City, 44 years later, Algeria and Austria meet for the first time at a World Cup since then. Argentina's already won the group. They're on 6 points. They're looking for 9 right now, leading 1-0. Algeria and Austria are level on 3. Jordan are already out. A win takes you through, no question. A draw, given the goal difference, a draw at this point, we know, takes both through, because this is the last set of games. If you're old enough to remember 1982, it's not about 3 points for Algeria. It's closure. If you're a younger fan, you've probably heard about the grievance from your family. You might want the clean win to make sure nothing about tonight resembles that. However, this is where it gets complicated, because as the bracket currently sits, Algeria is third in the group. They would play Switzerland in the round of 32. Austria is second in the group. They would play Spain in the round of 32. And no offense to our Swiss friends, but if you're getting to pick your opponent, you would rather play Switzerland than Spain. That would mean you would actually finish third rather than second. If you win the match, it's not actually going to help you if you're Algeria. You're going to play, instead of Switzerland, you're going to play Spain. If you draw the match, you're going to stay where you are. If you lose the match, then you're out. Austria, they're right now locked into the game with Spain. There's not any scenario where they can get into... Actually, there might be. It's not an easy scenario for them, I think, to thread the needle to finish third and for them to flip. That's what's tricky about this. Algeria really doesn't want to win. They really want to draw, because the draw would put them through. A win would make them play Spain. If Austria were to somehow lose this match, they would be then on the precipice. No, they can't lose it and go. They would be on a -1 goal differential, and Iran would get the final spot. So now, and we've already seen videos from Iranian fans who are begging Algeria to go win this game to help them. Because right now, if this game finishes as a draw, then Iran goes home on 3 points. Algeria becomes the third place team that goes into the next to last spot. And it's Iran who pays the price. But Algeria would be happy to be third, and maybe not to knock Iran out, but to be third and play Switzerland rather than Spain. Yeah, it's really complicated, isn't it? But you get to a point again 44 years later where Algeria kind of were on the wrong end of some shenanigans between West Germany and Austria at that time. But now Algeria could be the one if they can maintain this stays as a draw. And Austria can't fall behind them, so they kind of have to take the draw. And this game might be extremely boring. I will tune into it in a little bit just to see. I did want to watch a little bit of Argentina first. So those games are going on right now, and checking in, it's still Argentina 1-0, and Algeria and Austria have not taken more shots yet. Three fouls, two shots through 27 minutes of play, and it might just be that way. All right, what's on tap? It's brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of FIFA World Cup 26. So let's take a look at the bracket. There are two spots that are up in the air right now, and it's related to Austria and Algeria and Iran. Two of those three will be in the knockout round. Here's what we know. Germany will play Paraguay in Boston. The winner of that will play the winner of France and Sweden. They play in New Jersey. Germany-France in the round of 16? Tasty. Tomorrow, South Africa and Canada, they play in Los Angeles. I don't know if the Canadian media is still crying about having to go to Los Angeles as opposed to, I don't know, winning your group and getting to stay in Vancouver. Probably still, but I don't know. The weather might be better. The winner of South Africa and Canada will play the winner of the Netherlands and Morocco, which is one of the better round of 32 games. That one will be in Monterrey. Portugal will play Croatia in Toronto. That one was locked just a little bit ago. And the winner of that will play right now the winner of Spain and Austria. So round of 16, you are potentially looking at a Spain-Portugal match. Ooh, spicy. We know Wednesday, 8 o'clock, the United States will play Bosnia and Herzegovina. And don't let anybody tell you that this is not a difficult game. Don't let anybody tell you this is an easy opponent. Don't let former U.S. men's national team goalkeepers, who I guess desperately needed some attention and basically dismissed this as a contest, don't let that happen. And no, it wasn't Brad Kazan. He's much smarter than that. It's a shame that we're getting some of these things that are getting said about Bosnia and Herzegovina. This is a very good team. If you've watched this tournament, it's a very, very good team. They should have beaten Canada in game one. They beat Qatar. Edin Dzeko is going to be a handful for the U.S. backline. This is a Bosnia and Herzegovina team that held their nerve and knocked out Italy to get here. It's a very strong team. It's going to be a very tough match on Wednesday. The U.S. will be favored, but not by much. And for anybody to tell you that this doesn't, it's not going to be difficult, I'm telling you, they are lying to you, and you have to question why. The winner of the U.S. Bosnia-Herzegovina game will play the winner of Belgium and Senegal. And that one was locked in just a little bit ago. The U.S. match will be in Santa Clara, and the Belgium-Senegal match will be in Seattle. Next section of the bracket, Brazil and Japan. That game will be played in Houston. That is going to be a blast on Monday. Really good game there. That's a tough one for Brazil. The winner will play the winner of one of the more interesting matchups, Cote d'Ivoire and Norway. That'll be played in Dallas. One of the games I'm looking forward to the most, Tuesday night, 9 o'clock, Mexico, Ecuador, the Estadio Azteca. I mean, you can't ask for anything more than that. Sebastian Becasese might have asked for something different, but it's what happens when you don't score goals in your first two games. Ecuador is going to make it really difficult for Mexico. Mexico has played better in the tournament, but Ecuador's played better than a typical third-place finisher. That could be an epic night in Mexico City. The winner of that will play the winner of England and DR Congo, and that next match will be at the Estadio Azteca in Mexico City. So yes, it is shaping up that if Mexico does what they should and win at home, and England does what they should according to the FIFA rankings, England would have to go to Mexico City in the round of 16 and to the Estadio Azteca, where, since we're having history lessons tonight, go back and look up 1986 England-Argentina if you need a refresher on what happened last time England played in a World Cup match at the Estadio Azteca. Argentina, we know that they're going to win their group. They just scored a second from the penalty spot. Lautaro Martinez puts it home after a foul that was a high boot to the head of an Argentina player inside the 18. Argentina will play Cabo Verde in Miami, Messi's current hometown. That's going to be scenes upon scenes for all the different reasons. The winner of that match will play the winner of Australia and Egypt. They play in Dallas. The last as-it-stands match is Switzerland and Iran. That could change right now with the current score lines. That would change. Oh, no, it wouldn't. Austria just scored on Algeria. Marko Arnautovic scored in the 28th minute, and Austria right now has Algeria eliminated, and whatever plans that were in place for a set of draws in that game are out the window. So, as it currently stands, it would be Iran and Switzerland playing, and Algeria would be out. Stay tuned. One goal for Algeria changes that. The winner of that one would play, which is now locked after the results from about an hour ago, Colombia and Ghana, and that one will be in Kansas City. So, yeah, all the things. Tomorrow, the round of 32 starts, South Africa and Canada in L.A., first time in history for both of these teams to be in a knockout match in a World Cup. Hugo Bruce, 74 years old, he's hinting that this might be his last World Cup. He's playing with house money. South Africa knows that. I'm surprised they got here, honestly. I did not think they would be able to pull that off in the last game. South Korea eliminated now. They were in a spot tonight coming into the night. They are now eliminated from the World Cup because of that result and because of some really bad decisions from that team who just never really got going. And it was a shame. They were a team that they have a lot of talent, they have a lot of potential, but they could not live up to that tonight. Disappointing in the tournament at all. Disappointing for South Korea. A lot of interesting games in this round of 32. I mean, I'm most looking forward to Argentina. Cabo Verde is going to be a fascinating game because Cabo Verde is an extremely good defensive team. They've never played a team like an Argentina in a game that counts. So, yeah, obviously looking forward to England and DR Congo here. Can Le Leopards pull off an upset, a shock upon shocks? Mexico, Ecuador, Brazil, Japan. If it's Spain, Austria, that's a really fascinating game. Portugal, Croatia, Netherlands, Morocco. Of course, USA and Bosnia and Herzegovina. France and Sweden could be a very high-scoring game with a lot of attacks. We'll see what dictator Mbappe has in mind for that one. Round of 32 starts tomorrow. No breaks. No breaks in the World Cup. No breaks on AST, except for ones that we are contractually obligated to take, like the one coming up. On the other side of the break, we'll close the night with the 3-4-3. We'll bounce around, closing out the group stage. We will continue the conversation for some stoppage time to see out the group stage over on YouTube. Come hang out with us there. But we're going to take this break, and we'll be back with more soccer talk on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
I'm pretty confident talking into a mic. Hey, I'm doing it right now. But home projects, I second guess everything. Is that noise normal? Is that water damage? Who do I even call? That's where Thumbtack comes in. Just upload a photo or voice note, and it uses AI-powered search to match you with a right top-rated local pro. So instead of guessing, you get clarity and can hire with confidence. For your next home project, try Thumbtack. Hire the right pro today.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Roe. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Back to more of Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. Final segment on the radio of Atlanta Soccer Tonight. On 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. We'll continue on YouTube and keep an eye on Austria just kind of being rude. They didn't need to score against Algeria to finish second in the group, which they don't really want to finish second, but there's not an easy way, really no way, for them to avoid that. Algeria would have got through with a draw. Austria said, no, we're going to make you earn it. Austria takes the lead. It's 1-0 in the 40th minute. That's the last game that we're waiting to see in terms of how it affects the bracket. As it currently stands, Algeria would be out, Iran would be in the round of 32. But we'll talk about all that, and we'll break down these matchups and take some questions on the 92.9 YouTube channel after 11 o'clock. But let's get into the 3-4-3. It's brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. We always have a little bit of structure to close out the night. During the World Cup, we've used it as an opportunity to talk about three standout performers, four headlines, and three things that make me smile about this game. Let's start with the standouts. Number one, Jude Bellingham. He has the potential to be England's best ever midfielder. He really does. And a lot of times he lives up to that. Not always. First 60 minutes were not great for England, but they found the breakthrough. Bellingham, 62nd minute, finished a Bukayo Saka corner from close range. 5 minutes later, he gets the assist for Harry Kane, a goal and assist, the winning spot in the group, and a ticket to the ATL. Number two on the standouts, also a ticket to Atlanta, Yohan Wiese from DR Congo. Two goals. He drew the penalty that turned the match. He converted it. He then, at the start of stoppage time, picked up a ball at the top of the box, drove a low strike. That gave DR Congo the 3-1 win. 52 years since they were last in the tournament. This is their first ever World Cup win. And that draw against Portugal, and the win tonight, obviously, but the draw that was unexpected is what gets DR Congo into the knockout round for the first time. And they hang around Atlanta for a couple of days. Their fans were amazing tonight, by the way, as were the Uzbekistan fans. But DR Congo will take on England on Wednesday. Number three on the standout players, Petar Susic from Croatia. He's brought back into the midfield for this must-win game against Ghana. And the Internazionale midfielder responded with a thunderbolt low into the corner to put Croatia ahead in the first half. Croatia has been all right in this tournament. Not bad, not great. They've been all right. Susic has been one of the reasons that this group has really clicked when it's needed to in these kind of moments like today. He was decisive when Croatia needed it most. Let's get into the headlines and let's stay with Croatia. Luka Modric, he becomes the oldest player to provide an assist in World Cup history. This is in data going back to 1966. You don't have Opta reports from anything prior to that. Luka Modric, the oldest player to provide an assist at the World Cup. 40 years old. He curled in the corner that Nikola Vlasic headed home to put Croatia through. He also passed the 200 cap mark in this tournament. I mean, I know we've talked a lot about the Ultimo Tango for Lionel Messi and the Last Dance for Cristiano Ronaldo. Luka Modric gets lost in the shuffle a little bit. And I mean, it's kind of a nature of his personality. He is more low key, but what a player. What a player, Luka Modric. And he's going to try to carry Croatia as long as he can. All right, number two, I mentioned it earlier. This is in the headlines in the 3-4-3. Harry Kane. He passed Gary Lineker as England's all-time World Cup goal scorer. 11 goals at World Cups. Harry Kane, for whatever reason, is not really appreciated, I think, in the way that he should be among England fans. I think he is their best ever striker. Just no question about it. Gary Lineker was outstanding. And if you've seen what he did in the 1986 World Cup, especially, and again in 1990, Golden Boot winner in 86, just a special player inside the 18. But for me, Harry Kane's a more complete player. He's the best striker that England's ever had. And he's got the mark now. I hope he gets the respect to go along with it. Number three on the headline, Steve Clarke. He steps down as the manager of the Scottish national team as Algeria ties the match. And now they're back in the round of 32. 45th minute, Algeria makes it 1-1. We'll keep you updated on that on YouTube after this. Some AST stoppage time for you on the 92.9 The Game YouTube channel. But Algeria back into the round of 32. We'll see if they can hold it. Let's get back to Steve Clarke. He walked away. He had gotten an extension before. And when the news came out after the group matches with England and Croatia and Ghana, and it being then official that Scotland was eliminated, the statement came out right as we were kicking off the 7:30 game in Atlanta and in Miami that Steve Clarke was stepping down, even though he had a contract extension. Yeah, he got them to their first World Cup in 28 years. 7 years in the job for Steve Clarke. And full credit to him for elevating the program. But it has elevated past what he is either capable or comfortable or I don't know, willing in terms of style to do. This is a team with more talent in the offensive side of the team than he allows them to show. He plays a very defensive style. I thought it was his tactics that get Scotland sent home here. They got the win in game one against Haiti and then giving up early goals against Morocco and against Brazil. And yes, you have to talk about the players and their performances as well. Don't get me wrong. It's not all on Steve Clarke. But Steve Clark's negative tactics have been a problem, and I think it shows up in some of those moments in player performance. You can appreciate what Steve Clarke has done for the Scottish national team to get them to this stage, while also recognizing that, yeah, it's time for a change. I hope whoever gets that job is somebody who is going to be more open in the way that they manage, more attack-minded, more get more out of Scott McTominay, get more out of the attacking players that Scotland has on the way up. Dare to dream. Dare to play better soccer. Scotland's capable. Hopefully, they get a manager who will do that. And give Steve Clarke the gold watch. Absolutely. Give him his flowers. But it's time. Number four on the headlines, Nico Williams. He is out for the round of 32 thanks to an injury after a late tackle by Nicolas De La Cruz of Uruguay. That game got really spicy at the end of it. He will stay with the squad in case he's able to come back. But Luis De La Fuente, hoping he could have got Nico Williams back on a regular basis by now. Remember, he came into the tournament a little banged up. But this tackle that was reckless from De La Cruz ends up costing him a round of 32 game, which would be against Austria. And it's just a shame. Like, everything went so south for Uruguay in this tournament. I mean, it had been going south. You can look at when the line happened, when you had the falling out between Luis Suarez and Marcelo Bielsa, of where Uruguay went from being a very good team under Bielsa to a very average team in general. And a team with a lot of internal strife. I mean, the records back it up. I think they won 11 games before Luis Suarez was dropped from the team, and they won 5 after that. It was a bad look all the way around. I mean, the memes have gone around with Bielsa's post-game comments on the field where he was asked, and he got antsy and was yelling at people to go ahead and start asking him questions. And it's a bad look because, similar to Steve Clark, but on a completely different scale in the sense of what he's accomplished, but similar in the sense that Marcelo Bielsa has done a great job as a manager. Now, Bielsa is one of the most influential managers of all time. He has always taken different kinds of jobs. He's never been somebody who takes the team that is just expected to win. So anybody criticizing Marcelo Bielsa for not winning a lot of championships is just completely missing the point. Marcelo Bielsa is a different guy. Completely different personality. They call him El Loco for a reason. And some of the stories about how he got the El Loco nickname are legendary and might not be able to be verified to talk about. But yes, Marcelo Bielsa is eccentric. And that's fair. That's part of why he's such an influential manager and so legendary, because he does not follow normal convention in how he sets up his teams, how he structures things, all of that. He's an obsessive. He is definitely a little loco. But he lost the plot with this Uruguayan team. And, I mean, you got the sense, and I thought it was real emotion from him, frustrated that he couldn't do more for the team and achieve more with them. He got them to a semifinal in the Copa America, but a bad World Cup. And his time with Uruguay is up. There's talk about Marcelo Gallardo potentially being a candidate for that national team. You can say the similar thing that you say about Steve Clark in Scotland. Marcelo Bielsa will always be a legend, and not maybe not necessarily in Uruguay, but a legend in the game. What he has done with Leeds, what he did with Athletic Club in Bilbao, what he did with Argentina winning an Olympic gold medal, which is legendary in Argentina, what he did with Newell's Old Boys. He inspired Tata Martino, for example. Incredible manager. What he did with the Chilean national team. Incredible manager. And a great, great manager. Definitely a very my way or the highway manager. And that's harder to achieve right now. The way the game is being played, the way that players are, the power that players have, it's very difficult to be that kind of a manager who is not necessarily adaptable. And I think that's showing in what we've seen from Marcelo Bielsa with Uruguay. Does he have another job in him? Does he want to do another job? There's no telling what kind of a job will appeal to him. He doesn't take the ordinary appointment. But it's very fair to talk about him in that duality as a legend who inspired some of the greatest managers and some of the most important tactical innovations in the sport's history. That's fair. And also to say that he failed with Uruguay and is now not coming off well. And I don't know if he can change that. We'll find out. I hope that he gets a better final chapter. I do. Three things that make me smile to see this edition of AST out. Remember, we'll stay on YouTube, on the 92.9 YouTube channel, to take us through the final 45 minutes of the group stage at this World Cup. But three things that make me smile to round out the 3-4-3. Number one, 52 years of waiting. 3 goals in the second half after falling behind. 68,000 in the building. And DR Congo, they get their first ever World Cup win. They did it here in Atlanta. And they will stay in Atlanta to play England. Number two, I talked about it earlier, Luka Modric. Just watching him play, even at 40 years old. He made 2 huge defensive plays in this game. He assisted on the winner. He's fantastic still. Like, he can't do it as often as he used to, but Luka Modric is one of the all-time greats, and I just don't want him to be lost in the shuffle. Same for Memo Ochoa in this World Cup. 2 legends in their country who are calling it quits after the tournament. Messi and Ronaldo are going to get all the conversation, and that's to be expected. But Luka Modric, What a swan song for him at this tournament. And number three, speaking of songs, Hey Jude ringing out in New Jersey. It's pretty cool when you hear the England fans singing Hey Jude. Jude Bellingham is getting that singing, getting that serenade right now with this kind of performance. He had a goal. He had an assist. He had a rough season with Real Madrid. A lot of criticism, both from England fans and from Madrid fans. And he got the whole stadium singing his name back to him. That's what's so cool about this World Cup. That's the part that you can't predict. That's the part you can't control. England will be headed to Atlanta on Wednesday to play DR Congo. We will be previewing that between now and then. We'll be previewing the United States and Bosnia and Herzegovina between now and then. Both of those are on Wednesday. Tomorrow, it's Canada and South Africa. 3 o'clock for that. And then for Atlanta Soccer Tonight, tomorrow, I'll be with you on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app from 9 till 11. Come hang out with me on YouTube. We'll close out this group stage together, and we'll see what the bracket looks like when it's all said and done. Adios, everybody.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Keep cool out there, folks. It's going to be a hot one.
We the people love summer baseball. The food is over the top. The cheers come from the chest. We came with friends, but we met new ones. We have seats, but we're standing. They say it's anyone's game. But from what we can see, it's everyone's. Baseball for the people.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.